We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
There's a reason I never ignore my gut. As a journalist, my job revolves around reading people, picking up on the things they don't say, the way someone hesitates before answering a question, how their eyes flicker when they lie. It's an instinct I've honed over the years, one that's helped me more times than I can count. And that night, at the rooftop bar in Miami, that instinct was screaming at me. I had been seeing this guy, Adam, for a couple of weeks. Smart, funny, a little too into his stock portfolio, but overall, a good guy. We met up at Horizon, one of those swanky rooftop bars with overpriced cocktails and a perfect view of the Miami skyline. The kind of place where everyone pretends to be someone they're not. The moment we sat down at the bar, I noticed him. The bartender. Tall, early 30s, a little too clean cut for my taste. He had that look, someone who knew he was attractive, someone used to getting attention. At first, I chalked it up to him just being good at his job. He greeted us with the kind of charm bartenders are supposed to have, sliding over a couple of menus with a practiced smile. But then his attention lingered. Not on Adam, on me. "You two celebrating something special?" he asked, pouring water into two glasses. I shook my head. "Just a casual night out." He smiled. "First round's on me then." I laughed politely, but something about the way he said it felt off. Like it wasn't just a standard flirty bartender move. Adam, oblivious, raised his glass in appreciation. "Appreciate it, man." We ordered, and the drinks came fast. He kept checking in, asking how I liked my cocktail, only looking at me. Even when Adam answered, his eyes stayed locked on mine. I tried to brush it off, but every time I looked his way, he was already looking. Not in an oops, caught staring kind of way. In a measuring, calculating way. That's when I started getting uncomfortable. "Do you know him?" Adam asked at one point, lowering his voice. I shook my head. "No, but he's definitely acting like he knows me." Adam looked at the bartender, who was pretending to wipe down a glass while clearly eavesdropping. "Weird. Maybe he thinks he recognizes you from somewhere." "Yeah," I murmured. "Or maybe he's just a creep." Adam laughed. I didn't. We finished our drinks and moved to a small table near the edge of the rooftop, hoping to put some distance between us and the bar. I expected that to be the end of it. But when our next round came, guess who delivered them? Not the server, the bartender. "Didn't want you to wait too long," he said smoothly, setting the glasses down. His fingers brushed against mine just a little too long as he placed my drink in front of me. I withdrew my hand. "Thanks," he smiled. "Anything for you." Then he walked away, and I felt Adam stiffen next to me. "Okay, that was weird." "Yeah," I murmured, "but let's not make a scene. We'll finish our drinks and go." But I barely touched mine after that. Every few minutes, I'd look toward the bar, and every damn time, he was looking, smirking, like he knew something I didn't. We left soon after, stepping out into the humid Miami night. The streets were still packed with people, moving from bar to bar. I took a deep breath and pushed the tension aside. "Let's grab an Uber," Adam suggested, pulling out his phone. We walked a couple of blocks to where it was less crowded, stopping in front of a boutique with large glass windows. As Adam fiddled with the app, I turned slightly, just enough to catch the reflection in the glass. The bartender, a block away, following. I grabbed Adam's arm. "We're not alone." He looked up from his phone. "What?" I tilted my head toward the glass. "Behind us. Don't turn around too fast." Adam adjusted his watch, using the movement as an excuse to look back. His whole posture shifted. "Okay. Let's duck into that convenience store, see if he keeps following." We walked briskly into a 24-hour mart, stepping into the cool blast of AC. The store was nearly empty, just a bored-looking cashier behind the counter. I busied myself in the snack aisle while Adam pretended to look at the drink fridge. A minute passed, then two. "He's gone," Adam whispered. I didn't let myself relax yet. "Let's wait a little longer." 5 more minutes. Still nothing. Maybe he had just been going the same way as us. Maybe I had overreacted. Then we stepped back outside, and he was right there, standing just a few feet away, pretending to check his phone. But he wasn't scrolling, wasn't typing, just waiting. My pulse spiked. "Adam?" "Yeah," he murmured. "I see him." We didn't talk, didn't hesitate. Adam booked the Uber, and we walked fast toward the main street, merging into the flow of people. The bartender didn't follow, but I felt his eyes on my back the whole way. When the car pulled up, we practically threw ourselves inside. I didn't look out the window, didn't want to see if he was still standing there. We got to my place, locked the doors, and double-checked the windows. I told myself it was over, but I knew it wasn't. The next morning, I woke up to a text from an unknown number. "Why'd you leave so soon?"
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
My stomach flipped. I stared at the screen, my fingers going cold. I clicked on the number. No name, No previous messages. How did he get my number? I blocked it immediately, but I spent the rest of the day staring out my window. And that night, I slept with a knife under my pillow. I never went back to Horizon, never saw that bartender again. But I kept thinking about how confident he was, how certain. Like he had done this before, like he had done worse, like he was just waiting for someone to take the bait. Winters in Phoenix aren't too bad, but that night, a crisp chill settled in the air. It was one of those nights that made you want to linger over a good meal, sipping wine, letting the warmth of the restaurant seep into your bones before stepping back into the cool desert air. My boyfriend Matt and I had just finished dinner at Desert Pines Steakhouse, one of those cozy, dimly lit places that made everything feel a little more intimate. It was our weekly date night, a rare pocket of calm between our crazy schedules. I worked long shifts at the hospital, and he ran his own small tech company, so we didn't get nights like this often. As we walked out, we were still laughing about dessert. I'm just saying, cheesecake is the superior dessert, Matt said, pushing open the heavy glass door. Cheesecake is overrated, I shot back. Molten lava cake is where it's at. He groaned dramatically. We're gonna have to break up over this. I was about to fire back when something caught my attention. A white van parked next to our car. Too close. I frowned. Was that there when we pulled in? Matt looked over. No clue. Probably just someone being an ass about parking. Maybe, but something about it didn't sit right. It was one of those old cargo vans, the kind with no windows in the back. The paint was dirty, almost gray, under the dim parking lot lights. The driver's seat was empty, but the engine was still running. I got that sinking feeling in my stomach. Come on, Matt said, stepping forward. Let's just squeeze in. He reached for my hand, pulling me toward the car. And that's when it all went down. The van's side door slid open. Not fast, not a bang or a crash. Just a slow, controlled glide. Like whoever was inside wanted us to notice. I stopped dead in my tracks. A dark gap yawned open where the door had been, revealing nothing but a pitch-black interior. For a second, there was no movement, no sound. Then, a shadow shifted inside. Someone, two people, lurking just out of sight. I couldn't see their faces, couldn't make out any details, but I saw the slight shift of bodies, the way they positioned themselves near the door, waiting. Matt reacted first. His grip on my wrist tightened, yanking me back so hard I almost tripped. Get in the restaurant, now. His voice was dead serious. No teasing, no hesitation, just pure, immediate urgency. We spun around and ran. My heart slammed against my ribs as we rushed toward the entrance. My legs felt sluggish, like they weren't moving fast enough. The whole time, I expected to hear footsteps behind us, a hand grabbing my arm, someone yanking me back into the van. But we made it. We shoved through the doors, practically crashing into the host stand. The restaurant was still packed, full of people chatting, clinking glasses, completely unaware of what had just happened outside. The hostess blinked at us. Everything okay? Matt turned to the nearest waiter. Call security, now. There's a van outside, two guys in it. They just tried to. He ran a hand through his hair and blew out a deep breath. Just get someone out there. The waiter nodded, already pulling out his phone. A few other employees moved toward the windows, peering out into the parking lot. But security wasn't quick enough. By the time they got there, the van was history. We waited. Sat in a booth near the entrance, trying to wrap our heads around what just happened. A few staff members checked the parking lot again, but nothing. No cameras in that section of the lot. No witnesses, just a running van, an open door, and two people waiting inside. Security offered to walk us to our car, which we accepted. The whole time, I kept checking over my shoulder, convinced that Van was lurking somewhere, headlights ready to flick on. But there was nothing. Just an empty parking lot and the unsettling knowledge that something almost happened. That night, I maybe got like an hour of sleep, if that. I kept replaying the moment in my head. The open door. The figures inside. What if we had gotten a little closer? What if Matt hadn't pulled me back? The next day, I searched online trying to find anything similar. And that's when I found it. Reports of abduction attempts in Phoenix. People approached in parking lots, vans parked just a little too close. The part that really got me? Most of the time, the victims were women. Women alone. That realization knocked the air out of me. If I had been alone that night, would I have let my guard down? Would I have walked closer, just assuming it was some careless driver? Would I have made it back inside? I never park near vans anymore. Never. I don't care if it makes me paranoid. I don't care if it means I have to park at the far end of the lot. If I see a van without windows parked too close to my car, I don't go near it. And if you're reading this, maybe you shouldn't either. Because sometimes the door opens before you even realize you're in danger. And sometimes you don't get the chance to run. My girlfriend Maria and I had spent the evening at a bar downtown, celebrating her friend's birthday. It was one of those nights where you don't check the time. Just drink, laugh, and live in the moment. By the time we stepped outside, the air was just as hot as it had been all day. The streets were alive, but in that weird in-between state where the nightlife was winding down, but the morning crowd hadn't taken over yet. We weren't wasted, but we'd had enough drinks to know driving was out of the question. So like any responsible couple, we called for a rideshare. Maria leaned against me, scrolling through her phone while I kept an eye on the app. Our ride, a black Honda Accord, was 3 minutes away. That's when a car, the exact make and model we were waiting for, pulled up to the curb. The license plate looked close enough at a look. The driver didn't say anything, just rolled down the window. The app hadn't updated yet, still showing our ride was 2 minutes out, but I figured maybe the system was just lagging. It had happened before. Uber for Jake? I asked, stepping forward slightly. The guy gave a slight nod. Not a single word, no friendly greeting, nothing. Just a nod. Maria paused. That's weird, she whispered. Drivers usually confirm your name first. I wasn't sure why, but something about the silence felt wrong. The guy was in his mid-40s, unshaven, wearing a plain gray t-shirt. No company sticker on the windshield. No phone on a dashboard mount like usual. One sec, I muttered to Maria, checking my app again. Our actual ride was still 2 minutes away. A small alarm went off in my head. The driver didn't say anything when we got in. No greeting like they usually did. He just pulled away from the curb the moment the doors shut. Maria and I exchanged a look. Maybe he was just the quiet type. No big deal. But then, a few blocks in, something felt wrong. There was no GPS voice giving directions. The app on my phone still said, driver arriving. And then I realized, our real Uber was still 2 minutes away. I sat up straighter, my pulse racing so fast it felt like it might burst. Hey man, I said, forcing an easy tone. You sure you got the right pickup? The driver kept his eyes on the road, hands tight on the wheel. Maria stiffened beside me. Jake, she whispered, this isn't our ride. I forced myself to think fast. Hey, pull over, we made a mistake. No reaction. The car kept moving. Maria's hand found mine in the dark, gripping it tightly. I could feel how tense she was. I tried again. "Dude, we need to get out, now." Still nothing. We were going the wrong way. Instead of heading toward Maria's place, we were taking a detour through unfamiliar streets, the bars and bright lights fading behind us. Panic took over. I reached for the door handle. Locked. Maria tried hers. Same. That's when the driver finally spoke. "You don't want to do that." His voice was calm. Too calm. I felt Maria's nails dig into my skin. I kept my voice level. "Man, just let us out. No trouble. We'll just go." He didn't answer. Just kept driving. I scrambled for my phone, trying to call 911, but the signal was dead. Like we had slipped into some dead zone. That's when I knew this wasn't some mix-up. He was taking us somewhere. Maria's breathing had gone shallow. I could feel the tension radiating off her. I scanned the street. We were in a quieter part of the city now. Not deserted, but not exactly crowded either. Then I saw a red light up ahead. A chance. I met Maria's eyes. She understood immediately. The second the car slowed, we moved. I threw my full weight against the door while Maria clawed at the lock. It gave just enough that she could yank it up. The car hadn't even fully stopped before we were shoving the doors open and throwing ourselves onto the asphalt. Maria stumbled, but I grabbed her and yanked her to her feet, sprinting toward the nearest storefront. Behind us, the driver didn't even shout. Didn't chase us. He just sat there, watching. Then, just as the light turned green, he drove off. Maria was shaking. What the hell just happened? I was still gasping for breath, my body trembling. I don't know. A couple on the sidewalk gave us weird looks but didn't stop. Nobody had seen what happened. Nobody knew what we had just escaped. I pulled out my phone again, and this time I had service. I checked the Uber app. Our actual ride had canceled. I swiped to my trip history. Nothing. No record of a completed ride. No record of us ever getting into that car. Like it had never happened. Maria clung to my arm, staring at the screen. "Jake," I could barely hear her over the blood rushing in my ears. We filed a police report the next morning, but without a plate number, without an Uber trip log, without anything solid, there wasn't much they could do. But then Maria called me later that afternoon, her voice tight with fear. "Jake, I think that guy from last night, I think he was outside my apartment." I gripped my phone tighter. "What?" "I don't know," she whispered. "I saw a black Honda parked across the street. When I looked again, it was gone." I was already grabbing my keys. "I'm coming over." I didn't see anything when I got to her place, but that didn't mean he hadn't been there. The fear settled in our bones after that. Every time we saw a dark car idling too long, every time our phones pinged with a notification from an app we didn't open, we wondered. A week passed, then two, and then it stopped. No more sightings, no more strange cars. But to this day, I still wonder. What would have happened if that red light had turned green just a second sooner? What would have happened if we hadn't fought to get out? And how many other people didn't? Valentine's Day in Dallas always meant packed restaurants, overpriced wine, and couples forcing themselves to be romantic. I wasn't a huge fan of the holiday, but I had been dating Ethan for a year, and he wanted to do something nice. He made reservations at an upscale restaurant downtown that people raved about. It was the kind of place with smooth jazz and candles flickering on every table. Classy, but cozy. I had to admit, I was impressed. We ordered wine, laughed over appetizers, and for once, the whole Valentine's thing didn't seem so bad. Then, halfway through the meal, I excused myself to use the restroom. From that moment on, things only got worse. The hallway leading to the restrooms was narrow and quiet, away from the noise of the main dining room. Muted sconces lined the walls, casting a soft, flickering glow. I pushed open the heavy wooden door and stepped inside. The restroom was immaculate. White marble countertops, gold fixtures, and soft classical music playing from hidden speakers. There were three stalls, all empty. And then there was the mirror. It stretched from floor to ceiling, directly facing the row of stalls. The dark wooden frame made it look like something from an old estate. Something about it gave me a weird feeling. The lighting near it seemed dimmer, and the reflection had a strange depth to it, like I was looking into another room, not just a mirrored surface. Something was wrong. I stepped closer, smoothing my dress, running a hand through my hair. My reflection moved with me, normal as ever. Then, without really thinking, I knocked. A light, playful tap. And a second later, something knocked back. I jerked backward, my breath completely cut off. It wasn't an echo. It wasn't a delayed sound. It was a response, a deliberate, muffled tap, the same rhythm as mine. I stood there, breathless, staring at my reflection, my heartbeat drowning out everything else. There was someone on the other side. I spun around, checking my surroundings. The stalls were empty. The air suddenly felt too still, too quiet. I turned back to the mirror. My own reflection stared back, wide-eyed and pale. But I wasn't alone in here. I forced myself to move, practically speed-walking back to the dining room. I must have looked flustered because as soon as I sat down, Ethan gave me a weird look. "You okay?" I hesitated. How was I supposed to say, "Hey, I think someone's hiding behind the mirror watching people pee," without sounding insane? I stopped, pressing my lips together. Then, "Something's wrong with the mirror in the bathroom." Ethan frowned. "What do you mean?" "I mean I knocked on it and something knocked back." He blinked. "Like an echo?" "No," I shook my head. "Like someone was behind it." Ethan stared at me for a second, then sighed, rubbing his temple. "Babe, come with me," I cut in, grabbing his wrist. Back in the restroom, nothing had changed. The mirror was still there, stretching across the wall. The stalls were still empty. The classical music still played soft and delicate in the background. But now that I was staring at it again, my stomach twisted. "Go ahead," I whispered. "Knock." Ethan sighed, but obliged, rapping his knuckles against the glass. Silence. I felt my throat tighten. It happened, I swear. He looked at me, skeptical, then pressed his palm against the mirror like he was testing for movement. "It's solid." I bit my lip. I knew what I had heard. Whoever was back there, they weren't knocking anymore. I grabbed a passing waitress, quickly explaining what had happened. She gave me a strange look, but nodded, disappearing to get the manager. A few minutes later, an older man with silver-rimmed glasses arrived, his expression polite but annoyed. "I assure you, ma'am, there's nothing behind the mirror." I crossed my arms. "Then check." He hesitated, but after a moment he sighed and walked to the far corner of the room, unlocking a small, nearly hidden door. It creaked open, revealing a narrow, dark passage. I felt my stomach drop. Ethan and I stepped closer. The hallway behind the mirror was cramped, barely wide enough for a person to squeeze through. Pipes lined the walls, and the air was stuffy and stale. And then I saw it. A small hole in the wall, right behind the mirror, exactly at eye level. A chill ran through me. This wasn't an old maintenance space. This was a viewing room. Someone had been watching. Ethan swore under his breath. The manager shifted uncomfortably. We weren't aware of this. The building is old. It must have been part of the original structure. You've got to be kidding me. I turned to him, my voice sharp. Do you have cameras? Not in the restrooms. Of course not. But someone had been in here, had been watching, and I had caught them mid-peep. By morning, I needed answers. I called Bellamy's, pretending to be a reporter writing about restaurant design trends. I asked about their bathroom mirrors. The hostess hesitated. Then, in an almost embarrassed tone, she told me the restaurant had undergone renovations a few years ago. The mirrors, she said. Oh, those were already there. We just kept them. Something in her voice made my stomach tighten. Who put them in? I asked. She didn't know. I went down a rabbit hole that day, digging through old Yelp reviews, searching for anything about that damn mirror. I found something. A single post from 5 years ago. Weirdest thing, thought I heard breathing in the bathroom. No one else was there. Kind of freaked me out. The username was just a string of letters. The account had no profile picture, no other reviews, but something about it made my skin crawl. I didn't go back to Bellamy's. And I don't trust restaurant mirrors anymore. Because some of them aren't just mirrors. Some of them are windows. And some of them have someone watching on the other side. If these stories made you rethink your next date night, hit that like button and share this with someone who needs a reminder to stay aware. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications so you never miss another terrifying tale. Ever had a date night take a dark turn? Drop your story in the comments. I want to hear all the chilling details. Remember, danger doesn't always lurk in the shadows. Sometimes it's sitting right across the table. Stay safe and trust your instincts. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.